the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up. On this beautiful Monday morning, you are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Gabby.
And a howdy-do to you.
Morning, Damian.
Yeah. New too, Dave. Good morning to you.
Well, thank you. Good morning to everybody else.
That's right.
Y'all, it's hot. It's already hot, but I think there's promise in the future. We got moisture coming, Damian. You going to talk about that?
I'm going to talk about that after I talk about the record-breaking heat we'll have this week as well.
Oh,
but
dang.
Before we do, we always like to start our show with a prayer. And today being Monday, why not do what we always do? We're going to pray. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Glorious Pontiff St. Pius, devoted servant of our Lord and loving child of Mary, I invoke you as a saint in heaven. I give you myself, that you may always be my Father, my protector, and my guide in the way of holiness and salvation. Aid me in observing the duties of my state of life. Obtain for me great purity of heart and a love of the interior life after your own example. May we experience the peace and joy of your holy death. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, amen. Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Pope St. Pius X.
Pray for us.
That's his feast day today.
Indeed.
Great. Yes, we will learn more about our saint of the day later on in today's show, but at 10 after, we have some events in our listening area. And guys, one that you definitely want to hear about that is already being sold as far as reservations. So you definitely want to get your hands on this event. Well, I'll just tell you, it's Catholic Man Night coming up. We'll give you the details about it. So stay tuned. That's coming up shortly. And in 18 minutes, Bishop Michael Duca joins us. He's a bishop of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and he'll be giving us an update. In 35 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He's a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And every Monday, he joins us to give us tips on how to raise Catholic teens in today's world. And in 48 minutes, Deacon Dave Farinelli will be with us. He's a trained Catholic counselor with Catholic Counseling Services in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today he's going to be talking about mental health and many services that Catholic Counseling Services in the Archdiocese provides. So definitely stay tuned for that because they do great work.
I bet you they are busy now, right?
Yes.
These times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think all the time, but yes, more than normal. Kind of like our weather. You know, it's been hot, as Dave referenced, and it's going to continue that way. In fact, this week, get ready for the hottest week ever in the history of South Louisiana.
Wow.
Now you're saying, oh, come on, Collada, what are you talking about?
No, I heard that.
I'll say it. Come on, Collada, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that even though we have a 20% chance of rain today and it's going to cool things down to where we're only going to have a high of 96.
Oh, boy.
Winds out of the east at 10 to 20, which will make it even a little bit better. Overall, come tomorrow through Sunday, expect temperatures close to 105. That's right, 105.
You're not
heat talking index, 115 to 118. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, gosh.
So it's going to be brutal, to say the least. Temperatures in and around the area. Let me start with the cool spots. Baton Rouge and Covington, 80 degrees. Elsewhere, Gulfport is 83. Home of Thibodeau, 82. New Orleans, it's already 86. It's not even 5 after the hour yet. But you are listening to Wake Up. We are giving you the truth. Stick around. We've got a lot more coming your way, including the gospel.
Good morning, I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 19. A young man approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" He answered him, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He asked him, "Which ones?" And Jesus replied, "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All of these I have observed. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Francis Thompson was born in 1859. In his mid-20s, he wandered the streets of London as a destitute beggar addicted to opium. Helped by Wilfred and Alice Meynell, Francis received much-needed medical care. Then, in 1893, his autobiographical poem, The Hound of Heaven, was published. In the poem, Jesus is depicted as the relentless bloodhound chasing after the fugitive Thompson. But haven't we experienced ourselves in Thompson's place? I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him. But with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed and majestic instancy, the feet that followed beat. And a voice beat more instant than the feet, "All things betray thee who betrayeth me." And still, with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, came on the following feet, and a voice above their beat, "Naught shelters thee who will not shelter me." Nigh and nigh draws the chase with unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic infancy, and past those noise feet a voice comes yet more fleet. "Lo, naught contents thee who contents not me." Now of that long pursuit comes on hand the brute. That voice is round me like a bursting sea. "And is thy earth so marred and shard and shard? Lo, all things flee thee who fleeth me. How hast thou merited of all men's clotted clay the dingest clot? Alack, thou knowest not how little worthy of any love thou art. Whom wilt thou find to love ignoble thee? Save me, save only me." Well, what was the obstacle Thompson, the rich young man in today's gospel, and we face? He gives us the answer. "For though I knew the love of him that followed, yet I was sore adread, lest having him I might have naught besides." May we surrender in the end to the voice that declares, "Ah, fondest, blindest, weakest, I am he whom thou seekest." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Father Chris Decker. And thank you all for joining us here on Wake Up on this happy Monday morning. And it's going to be even happier come November because guess what? It's the 7th annual Catholic Band Night, November 8th. That's going to be a Wednesday night, and it's going to be at our regular location, the White Oak Estates and Gardens. And of course, Chef John Foltz will be preparing all the fine dining that we'll be enjoying, and that's here in Baton Rouge. And Dave, I know you look forward to this every year.
It is so much fun. I love putting these things on. And he puts that spread where you got the food all over the grounds.
Strolling
of White Oak. Yes. Yeah. And I mean, they had quail, they had oysters, they had the couchon de lait, they had
gumbo.
My goodness. Yeah, salads. That was okay. Yeah,
shrimp
salad.
And grits.
Hey, you're talking.
You want me to keep talking? I can give the whole menu, but we'll run out of time. We won't have any time for the guests today.
But you know, we do all that. We have a lot of fellowship, a whole lot of visiting, and then we always have an awesome guest speaker, and this year is Mike Fulmer, and he is, if you haven't heard him, Damien, speak, he is incredible. And plus, I mean, he's a business guy.
That's right.
But he brings his faith to work. His faith is first. So he has awesome things to say.
He's the owner of Berryland Campers, who is also an underwriter here at Catholic Community Radio. And more importantly, though, he is a great speaker and a great person in regards to what he does for his Catholic faith, including he teamed up with Father Mark Beard a year or so ago to help build Our Lady of Hope in Chattawa. And so he was instrumental in getting that started. More importantly, you'll be able to get your tickets now online, right, Dave?
And you know what? As soon as word got out, just talking about it, people are buying tickets. So if this is happening at this rate, y'all, I mean, tables are being sold really quick, so and tickets are being sold. So you might want to jump online now, because those of you who have done this before, you know what it's like. And that's probably why we're selling tickets already by word of mouth. But it's official, so jump online.
Yeah, 6 to 9 is the event, November 8th. It's a Wednesday night, $125 a person. If you want to go to the Fraternity of the Leaf event, which you get there an hour before, you get to taste some of John Foles's homemade concoctions. What I mean by that is his rum, his whiskey, whatever he's brewing.
Yes.
You can get that as well. And that's $250 a person. You'll see all that online. Want to thank Olin Group, and we also want to thank Olivier Group for being our sponsors this year for the event. And
absolutely.
So, got a lot more information, but we'll tell you as we get closer. In the meantime, Catholic Man Night, November 8th. Get your tickets now.
It is underway. With the recent success of the movie Sound of Freedom, there's a renewed awareness in the sad issue of human trafficking. The Catholic Church has been engaged in the fight to end human trafficking for many years, and there's several local and national resources available through our Archdiocesan Respect Life that can be found online. For those who would like to take action to learn more about the Baptist Friendship House that operates here in New Orleans, and the Metanoia Manor that operates in the state as refuge for female victims of human trafficking, for ages 0 to 18. So anyone can help fight against human trafficking. Just go to ccmedia.com for more information.
Okay.
Dot live. ccmedia.live.
That's what I meant.
Don't go to .com.
Yes.
It does
Sorry
not
about
exist.
That. I have no idea where you're going.
It's okay.
Go there, but you're not going to find what you're looking for.
Yeah. Live. Go live.
All right, folks, 15 after the hour. It's Monday, and we're waking up. Hopefully you are, too.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 21st. Today we celebrate Pope St. Pius X. Born into a poor Italian family in 1835, Joseph Sarto was elected pope at age 68. Ever mindful of his humble origins, he was often embarrassed by the splendor of the papal court. Pope Pius was intensely interested in politics and encouraged Italian Catholics to become more involved politically. One of his first papal acts was ending the supposed right of governments to interfere in papal elections. Pius X is perhaps best remembered for his encouragement of the frequent reception of Holy Communion, especially by children. In 1910, he declared that children had reached the age of reason at age 7, and should therefore be permitted to receive the Eucharist. On the 11th anniversary of his papal election, Europe was plunged into the First World War. Pius had foreseen it, but the war's impact troubled him deeply. Blessed with great empathy, he understood the trials of life, and his great heart wanted to comfort everyone. "I would gladly give my life to save my poor children from this ghastly scourge," he said. The Holy Father died in 1914 and was canonized in 1954. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour, you're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith, and Damian Kaladawin. Right now, we have our own in Baton Rouge, Bishop Michael Duca, Bishop of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to hear your voice again. I had a chance to visit with you, Bishop Duca, just for a short minute after the diaconate ordination, and we were talking about all the many things that you have suddenly thrust upon you this month, and I was wondering where you wanted to start, because we're talking the school year, we're talking deacon organizations. We had a funeral and major adjustments going on there. Where would you like to start?
Well, of course, you can't get to start really by just acknowledging the sad death of Father Mark Beard. That right. was a very hard blow to the diocese and many people. His ministry extended way beyond the small parish there in St. Helen and Amite.
Right.
And so he'll be greatly missed.
Mm-hmm.
But I followed it up, like you said, with a great celebration ordination of deacons, our deacon class for this year, four new deacons. These are permanent deacons.
Right.
And then also I've celebrated last Sunday the 200th anniversary of the founding of the church in St. Mary's in New Roads.
That's right.
Mary's Falls River.
That's right. That's our own.
That's a long history. That I read on that history is over. Mm-hmm. The first chapel there was over 300 years old. That
yes.
anniversary is coming up.
Yes, early 1700s, right? That's what I read.
The first mass in 1699 and the first official chapel in like 1723 or something.
That's
yeah, the numbers are amazing. The church is so deep here in terms of, well, at least American history.
Yeah.
In Europe, that's not much. But here, that's 300 years. That's a long history
that's
here.
Long. That's right.
And of course, as you go through the history, you have, you know, churches that were there. Then they got, you know, the flood took them into the bayou or the river. Or, you know, all kinds of five or six hurricanes over those times.
And,
and all there were plagues, or like, you know, there was typhoid and different smallpox, all these different things that the church has gone through, and they still are strong and going well there at St. Mary's and New Roads.
And it's such a beauty to walk into that church, because that church mm-hmm. itself, if I'm not mistaken, that was the late 1800s or early 1900s.
Yeah,
it's just gorgeous.
I think 1800s, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I get my dates all mixed up. I think that church, that's not the first church.
No.
That church was like 1823. So early 1900s.
Okay.
1923, a little bit earlier than that, 1907. I remember this was being built, the time that was being built, there was a drought, and there was a flood in 1907,
mm-hmm.
I think, and all that affected that area. And then it followed up with, like I said, the typhoid, and then another disease, yellow fever, I think. And then a drought.
Okay.
All the things we go through at our age.
I was about to say, I guess it's time to build a church somewhere, Bishop,
right.
with all this crisis going on all around us. So.
Okay. Oh, you may be right. That's good. We have this weekend with a great catechist convocation for a catechist in the diocese. And that's going to be a big event here as well. That's on the 26th of August.
Right, that's going to be held at Sacred Heart Church in Baton Rouge.
That's right.
Okay.
So that's a big gathering. They're getting close to 300 participants, which is a lot.
My goodness.
People
from all over the diocese. And so I continue my prison ministry. I'll be going to the state police barracks here in Zachary for one of my... I try to visit all the prisons at least once a year.
Yeah.
And the state prisons. And so I'll be going there this week as well. And I'm looking at my calendar.
Yeah.
The rest of it is just kind of their anniversaries. The I see ahead of me here. We got that's in September though. That's first of September. The rector's dinner mm-hmm. for the 100th anniversary of Notre Dame Seminary. They're celebrating.
That's right.
As
that's
well.
Right. 100 years. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'll leave that for someone there to talk about. But that I'll be going there as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're celebrating also the 100th anniversary of Franciscan University,
right?
When it started out, of course, as basically a nursing school at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big celebration that will go on all this year.
And then you were at the
new building.
Right, you were at the ribbon cutting for their new building, right?
Beautiful building.
Yes,
beautiful building. Outstanding. You know, they have, because this is, they do high degree training for medical professionals there,
right?
As well as their full, you know, liberal arts and four-year academic program.
Right.
But both of those, one floor is a hospital room floor, and the next one is the emergency room floor.
Goodness.
And both of those things were built to spec, hospital specs. So they could actually use those in an emergency for true medical emergency rooms and hospital rooms.
Wow.
And in every room, there's a mannequin, a very active mannequin that does all kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
They have one that gives birth. They have one that they all reflect little children. They reflect different kinds of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to some older nurses the other day while we were going around. They said, "I said, did you have these mannequins to practice on?" They don't know. We practice on each other.
Oh gosh.
Said, <"What?">
Okay. Well, you can't get better than that, I guess.
I guess learning how to take blood, they had to practice on each other.
Wow. Yeah. But you know,
they're old school.
Yeah, but now, I mean, but getting back to Fran, you, they have an incredible theological department. I mean, and as we were talking about the newly ordained permanent deacons, they've all gone through this, right?
This has been a great gift to our diocese.
Mm-hmm.
Because it allows us to have that good theological training, producing teachers and catechists for our diocese and other places as well. And we've gotten very high level theologians have come through there and are there now at the same time.
Yeah.
And has a very strong Catholic identity. They now do all of our deacon formation.
Mm-hmm.
And because of their presence here, I think it's one of the reasons we were able to attract the novitiate for the Mercedarian sisters who are now here. They're bringing their novitiate here to Baton Rouge, and they will sending their young women there and other places around for their continued training and formation.
Yeah.
And so it's been a catalyst that's been a very good addition to our diocese.
Right,
and so I'm very happy about that. And the students there, of course, now are able to get four-year degrees, full degrees, not just certificates, along with their medical professional, as well as have a degree in some other major. So it's a great addition to our diocese and to the area.
Absolutely, it's a pleasure to work with those guys. I know from our standpoint. And now getting back to Father Mark Beard, I know that was quite a blow, and it caught everyone off guard and everything, mostly because of the ripple effect this fine gentleman had. He affected much more than just his parish, didn't he?
Well, you know, he did. He had an outreach just simply by putting his sermons and things online.
Yeah.
He had an outreach. There are quite a few people I talked to that drove in daily from out, you know, not from 50 miles away or so, just to go to Mass there.
Yeah.
And so he had that outreach. He also had created at the parish a kind of a living kind of catechetical experience.
Yeah.
And long before he was working with Chattawa Retreat House, busloads would come for a day trip to his parish.
Just for
He has a walkway that describes and explains the theology and origins of the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
Tracing some of its elements back into the Old Testament and, of course, the teaching of the Church. He has this great line of apostles there, life-size apostles, and several other things. And so when they would come, they had this little experience,
right,
of a catechetical experience.
Yes.
And so... he's kind of creating, he was creating something of the same idea out at Chattawa.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll have to see how that continues to move forward. That's in another diocese, and so it's not in my diocese.
Right, right. So, well, I do hope it continues to be successful, because I've been up there, you know, just like I've been to his parish, and what he has done in the area and everything, you feel like you're on holy ground. There is so much going on there. And then you're absolutely right, how powerful he was of a speaker, because, you know, they just show his homilies during the Mass, but before the readings were made, he would stand up and explain what you were about to hear. I've never heard anybody do that before. And then again, he was quite dynamic too, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah.
That was kind of his way of doing things too.
Yeah.
He had a little unique way of doing things. So.
Right, right.
But yeah, well, he'll be missed. And for now, Father Miles Walsh has stepped in to be the administrator there.
That's great.
So we don't know what the long-term response is going to be or who we have to fit. We're really tight with priests here, so...
Right.
That's an unexpected spot that I wasn't expecting to have to fill.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we'll have to work on that.
And the good part is we have 10 seminarians right now in formation.
We have 10 seminarians, mm-hmm. which is we had three new ones come in this year, which has been a great gift. And
yes.
So that's a net increase of 10% for us. I know it's not large, but one extra guy. We ordained two this year, which is a great gift.
Yes.
And but we're also growing by one for next year. We hope to grow more than that, and we need to grow more than that. But
and we all see the difference one priest makes, don't we?
Oh, you're right. You don't need. I mean, we need the numbers to cover our parishes, but
right.
You know, one good priest obviously affects a lot of people.
Well, Bishop Duca, once again, thank you for joining us. I know it's brief. I feel like we could talk all morning long. I'm afraid we only have 10 seconds left. Can we ask a blessing from you?
Yes.
Okay.
In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Loving God, send us forth today with the joy in our heart, the joy of knowing that you are with us. Give us the grace to preach your gospel of love, act with mercy and justice and truth. We ask God's blessings upon us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop Duca.
You're welcome.
All right. It's half past the hour. We come back. Damien's going to be talking to Alan Migliorato. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up.
Get up, get at it, get going. It's 35 after the hour, and it's time for our friend Alan Migliorato to join us. And he's here today, as always, to talk about teens, what we can do about them, what you should do about them, and should we even do anything about them. Right, Alan?
Oh, my.
It sounds like one of the plagues. Like, what do we do about these locusts? You know?
Sometimes that's kind of what it's like. But, hey, you know what? All these teens, a lot of them, I know are in high school, but many, I guess, upper-age teens, if you want to call it, are entering college, and that is a time in which they want their freedom, and sometimes what happens is they forget about their faith in the process until their sophomore or junior year, and then they all of a sudden get awoken again.
Yeah, these the colleges today especially, it seems as though there's a very liberal a push or a very, I guess, anti-faith push. Having a strong faith base before you get to college, having a strong personal relationship with Christ is so important before you get there. And honestly, sometimes it's one of those things that shake us when we get to college. It's like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I've never been questioned like this. I've never been, you know, confronted like this about my faith. Like, I'm not sure how to answer these things. And just that alone can be really important to kind of make us take, you know, get our fortitude out from our confirmation and really let that spiritual gift start to bloom. But when the kids get to college, like one of my biggest things is, you know, we have a senior send off every year for the youth group that I'm involved with here. And one of the things I say is, you know, hey, so how are you going to stay connected to your faith when you get there? And they're like, wow, I already checked out. I went to the college campus and checked out. There's a church right across the street, you know, that I'm going to get involved with. And I said, well, what else are you going to do? So there's some clubs, you know, on campus that, like the Newman Club, or there's different Catholic campus ministries mm-hmm. that kids can get involved with. But I always suggest that they take some sort of leadership role. And it might seem like a lot right at first, you know, when you're first getting to college and getting settled and just kind of want to, you know, get acclimated to your surroundings, but eventually have them take a leadership role or get involved with the Catholic Church that's close by and help out with the younger kids so that you can be an example to them. It's like, hey, I'm at college. My parents aren't forcing me to go, but I want to help you and I want to grow in my faith at the same time. So that's why I'm here. That's important for other people to see.
When you say leadership role, it's in the church, but in what way? Give an example or two. So if parents or those getting ready to go to college or starting this week, they know exactly what you're referring to.
So when I'm talking more of an inside, like a club, if you get involved with a Catholic ministry.
Oh, okay.
So you know
okay.
what? Yeah, like that kind of leadership role. Like, you know, how can I help, you know, spread the word about this club? And when my daughter got to college, she was part of this Bible study, and she said, you know, how come we only have seven people here? And they're like, well, you know, no, not a whole lot of people know about it. So she, you know, she was emailing me and texting me about it, so I designed a flyer for her. She put a flyer on social media, and because it worked so well, by her taking charge of, she took charge of their social media I guess, promotion of the club. Mm-hmm. They end up with like 30-something kids in this club over a month, a month's period. And it's just a matter of like letting other kids know about it. Not being afraid to talk about your faith, I think, is super important as well. My daughter has been a great example to her friends by like, hey, you know, you want to go out, you know, we're going to go on Sunday and play Frisbee or, you know, or do something. She's like, well, I can go after church, you know, or mm-hmm. Why do you have to go to church? And she's like, well, I have to go to church. That's what I do. I love, because Jesus tells me I have to.
There
so
you go.
I'm going to go and because I love him. So she'll drag a bunch of friends with her to church. And then they'll go play Frisbee or they'll go have a picnic or something.
Yeah, I like the idea too. And you made reference to it where you don't necessarily have to be there day in and day out, but you can help lead retreats for young high schoolers or even younger students than that. And that is a good leadership role as well. As you were talking about that, that came to mind because I know a lot of young men and women who have done that and it kept them involved. And that's part of it, right, Alan? Is find a way to learn more about your faith, and to do that, find a good Catholic community and some virtuous relationships while you're on campus.
Yeah, and it seems like it's almost an impossibility at times because it's a few and far between. Unless you're going to like a college that's a Catholic college, you can end up, you know, really getting derailed by some of the questions that other kids ask you. So, like, why are you Catholic, and why do you guys believe in? And going to a priest to say you're sorry for your sins, why can't we just talk to each other and say it, or just tell God, you know, or why do you guys pray through saints? And there's great questions that are the foundation of our faith that we should know, but, you know, we become formed at different stages of our life. So those questions can really help our teens build their faith and really understand their faith a lot better if they're willing to explore and not just get shy and say, I don't know. I just don't know. I guess that's what I've always done. And that's okay for step one, but step two is find out why.
Yeah.
You know, and so like that's why I work with the younger kids all the way up through young adults into their 30s, because that's so important for them, that understanding of their faith. Because we know we kneel, but why do we kneel? We know we stand, but why do we stand? Mm. You know? Those are important questions.
Yeah. And yeah. All right. And this Thursday and Friday, you're going to venture to Louisiana, believe it or not.
Yay.
Folks in Mandeville, you'll be able to meet Alan directly. He's there to give a talk at Our Lady Queen of Peace Catholic Church in Mandeville. And the topic, raising Catholic teens. Is it mission impossible? Now, I don't want you to let the cat out of the bag, but touch a little bit for those listening why they should attend.
Yeah, it's impossible. No,
well, you just know. You can't tell them that.
The answer is yes. we do our best, but parents need that support system. They need to know that, like, you know, I'm talking, when I come to do a talk, it's never from, like, an ivory tower. It's always like, hey, I'm in the trenches.
Yeah.
There's struggles that I have. There's, you know, God is always there, and we have to rely on God. And sometimes parents just need to know, like, hey, it's okay to struggle. Just keep your faith in God and trust Him. And so we talk about that. We have some, you know, they have some small group time where we're going to just really kind of get into it. And I think that's important because a lot of times parents don't have, they won't ask the pastor questions, you know, because I just went to him for confession. I'm certainly not going to tell him I'm struggling with anything else. So this is a good time to do that. You know, this is a good open forum. And I think it's going to be great. I'm so excited about coming to Louisiana and having lunch with you guys.
And
getting some good gumbo. And I'm just looking forward to it.
Now, Thursday is strictly for parents and adults. And then on Friday, the teens get to show up with the parents, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The Thursday is just for, like, I really encourage, like, couples to come, you know, together. And I don't think there's any football on Thursday, so now we can prioritize our faith. Mm-hmm. What a horrible thing to say. But now I think that's an important thing for parents to come together. If you're, you know, if you're single parents, please show up. Grandparents are welcome. Even adults in the church that don't have kids, because they need to know that our youth are the church of today and of tomorrow. So, like, that's important for them. And then Friday, get your teenagers, drag them there, and then stay there with them. That's going to be for parents and teens on Friday.
Okay.
Nice.
And will there be materials that they'll be able to leave with, Alan? Or is you're just doing a talk?
I'm bringing my books.
Okay, good.
I'm bringing my books. If they wanted to get a book, you know, there's going to be some books there. It's really not, like, it's not the reason I'm coming to sell books, but, like,
no.
If they wanted a book, if they heard something that helped them and they wanted to take a book home with them, there's going to be some materials there.
Okay, very good. Before we wrap up, give us one positive thought a parent can do as their child is going to college, and what can you tell them other than I'll be praying for you?
Well, here's a word that parents hate, but I'm going to say this is the biggest help of all, is just surrender and let God be in control and keep praying, and don't underestimate the power of prayer for Amen. Your children.
Yeah, yes, and here we are. We're in the midst of St. Monica's Novena, so we should be praying for them, even if they have their Catholic faith, that they keep it, mm-hmm. and that's the key. Mm-hmm. Because, boy, when you get to college, all bets are off, as they say. But let's keep praying for all our young college students as well as our high school and youngsters. Alan, thank you for being with us. Looking forward to seeing you toward the end of the week.
All right, guys. God bless you.
Alan Migliorato, author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. Get his book. You can find it at AdventureCatholic.com. We've got more. It's already 45 after the hour on Waco.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Our next guest is Deacon David Farinelli. He is a trained counselor over at Catholic Counseling Services in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today he joins us to tell us about the many benefits and services that Catholic Counseling Services in the Archdiocese of New Orleans provides for you. Good morning, Deacon Dave. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. It's good to be with you.
It's good to have you with us, and thank you so much for being here this morning. I know it's early on a Monday, but I want to talk about the many benefits. So tell us this, you provide services for families, single people, children. The list goes on and on. So tell us a little bit about your role over at Catholic Counseling Services.
Yeah. First of all, we have an echo. You know that, huh?
Oh, I did not know that.
But keep going.
Yeah, we can keep going. Sure.
Our organization has grown a great, great deal over the last 5 years. We have over 20 counselors now working from 9 o'clock in the morning till about 8 o'clock at night. We have dropped the age for children. We'll start seeing children at 4. We have a number of counselors that are working with play therapy, so we can accommodate children almost of any age. We've also increased our couples. We're working with a lot more couples than we were working with before. We're working with individuals over a broad spectrum of issues. Including anxiety, even lately, a lot more that are on the edge of committing suicide. So we're,
oh my goodness,
it's a serious issue, and we seem to be doing pretty well meeting the needs of the people that are coming to us.
Yeah. Deacon Dave, it's so important to talk about mental health. It's kind of a buzzword. It's been on the forefront for a long time, and I'm so glad that it is, because coming out of the pandemic, a lot of people are struggling. And one of the things that people are struggling with is anxiety, you know, fear of a lot of things going on in the world, things we cannot control. You and I have had those conversations before. If someone comes to you and needs help with anxiety or depression, and just to talk about it, do they need to be Catholic to get your services over at Catholic Counseling?
Not at all, Gabby. We serve every faith, experience, We serve everybody. I mean, there's no cutoff, no blocking, no nothing. And we've had some great benefactors who have helped us to cover the charges of people who can't afford the full fee. And so, no, there's no limitations to coming to us. If you have no money, you have a lot of money, you're more than welcome to come see us. And we will fit you with the proper, with the person that will fit you best.
Yeah. I know a lot of the reasons that a lot of people do not go to therapy or counseling is because it costs so much money. But over at Catholic Counseling Services, they work with you financially. So definitely go and check them out. Call them. Have that conversation. Deacon Dave, one of the things is also couples counseling, family counseling, and play therapy. So you really cover the gamut of family life here. But it's you also have therapy and counseling in Spanish. So I did want to throw that out there for our Spanish-speaking listeners, that there is that option.
I'm really glad you asked that. We do. We have people who can counsel in Spanish. It's important that we be able to meet the needs where the people are that are coming to us. And we have two counselors that will do it in Spanish. So, it's a great offer.
It is. And one of the things also that you provide is telehealth. So for those who are unable to reach you, do they have to be in the New Orleans area to participate or be a part of telehealth to get that counseling?
No, ma'am. No, they don't. And it's getting better. We have a number of counselors that are doing telehealth now. One that does it full-time for us. The other thing is that with the PACs that are being formed in the states, now we can even go outside the state. It's not it's not completed right now, but that's the hope for it, that we can go outside the state. Yeah.
That's great. And I'm so glad that you offer these services for those who are unable to travel to New Orleans, but have this counseling service for them. Thank you so much for taking mental health seriously and providing this for so many people. It's greatly appreciated. Where can we go, Deacon Dave, to find out more information on Catholic Counseling Services in the Archdiocese of New Orleans?
You can call us at 504-861-6245.
You can also go to nolacatholiccounseling.org. And I did link it in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. Sometimes I forget phone numbers, and I certainly don't memorize them. But the website has a plethora of information. So thank you so much, Deacon David Farinelli, trained counselor over at Catholic Counseling Services in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Gabby, and I appreciate you following up with what the website is.
No problem, and we appreciate you listening and watching us. Deacon Dave watches Wake Up and has been listening to us for such a long time, a wonderful supporter. But I highly encourage people to call them and take a look. I had the benefit of actually going and seeing one of the counselors for anxiety. I'm saying it.
Wow.
It's normal.
That's awesome.
And they help. So I highly recommend and how to manage that, how to manage your day. And it is one of the most helpful things I've ever had to go through. So the counselors over there are absolutely wonderful, and they work with you.
That is great.
So highly recommend children, teens, adults. Don't be afraid. Have that courage.
It's amazing what's out there, isn't it?
Take mental health.
It's just amazing
and focus
all the
on
things
your
that are
health.
Offered out there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Speaking of mental health, a big shout out to my cousin, Louis and Gail Collado. 50th wedding anniversary celebration.
Wow. Nice.
You got to have a great mental health to be married that long. Leave it at that. Congratulations, cuz.
It gives you mental health.
Hopefully you have
does.
many more years of happiness.
No, he knows I like to tease him.
That's great.
All right, we're wrapping up with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, help me to love you above all things. I realize that I am attached to things that sometimes lead me to forget you. And yet, I can't avoid hearing in the depths of my soul your words, "No one can serve two masters." Help me understand that it is not worthwhile to have many things, but not have you. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We're talking to Deacon Dennis Adams of Christopher Homes on the North Shore, the National Eucharistic Revival and Congress, and Monsignor Christopher Nolte of Good Shepherd Parish in New Orleans. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.